The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Tonight on this Sunday night, March 13th, 2016. We want to hear from you tonight. It is Black Talk Live here, and let me just give out the number. We are talking all things Black Live, and are you brainwashed? Does the system brainwash you? Sometimes I just really, really wonder. It's amazing that we're still going through some of the things that that some of our ancestors experienced. As I visited the Charles Wright Museum today here in Detroit, just looking at the historical pieces, looking at the artifacts, and I know that we have come a long way, as people say, but how much further do we need to go to really accomplish true, full liberation? And what do we need to do? Will voting change that? Activism, eradicating the prison system, will that change our social economical conditions? Are people still confused about politics and society's injustices, or are more people waking up? So I was listening to this video today, also this black lady. She says she's divorcing her husband if her husband does not vote for Donald Trump. Although when she was being interviewed, it looked like she was reading off some cue cards. So I'm kind of more so inclined to believe that somebody paid her to make those comments. But it's just amazing. I saw that video. I saw a couple of other women with some Trump supporter t-shirts on, and I tell you, it's really amazing to me. So on our last show, on Wednesday night, we discussed voting, the Black vote for Hillary and Bernie Sanders. So we want to hear from you still. Let me give out this number, because this is an election. This is election season. You know, every election season, people always say, this is the most important election. As long as I've been alive, I've always heard them say that this is the most important election to get people to come out to vote. So anyway, we want to hear from you on that. We want to hear from you on what's going on in your community. We want to hear some hot topics from Delta. And we will also read a letter for Delta. Let me just give out the phone number, and then we'll go into a clip. Phone number to call in and share your comments, 641-715-3660. Let me just repeat that, 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 5490. Need to press pound. And then press *61 if you'd like to share a comment. If you'd like us to put you on line, you can talk with us. So let's see here. Let's play this one. I believe this is Dr. Boyce Watkins speaking on Bernie Sanders versus Hillary Clinton.
They might be old and white, but Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders just want to be one thing: down. Why? They want the black vote. Thanks, Producer Brooke. Yes, the black vote. That mystical orb that contains the desires of every black American that, once in a candidate's clutches, will render them politically invincible forever. I mean, it's pretty important. No other voting bloc has gotten candidates to carry around an urban dictionary over the Constitution. Am I staying woke? I don't even know what this means. I am already awake. Or get a candidate to whip and nay-nay. Stop. Yes, it's a mad dash to show voters who's more committed to racial justice, which, thanks to the Black Lives Matter movement calling out police brutality and the unfair criminal justice systems that have destroyed black communities, is now one of the biggest issues of this Democratic primary. Meanwhile, the Republicans have barely said a thing. Guess it's just not a platform point on Planet Douche.
Book. Okay, yeah, that reality TV show, not in
the book. Thank you for the book.
And the who's who of the black political and entertainment world are picking their sides.
I truly believe that Senator Bernie Sanders is the right man to lead this country.
If you want to make sure Republicans don't take us backward, help Hillary move us forward.
But who's got the better record? As a New York senator, Hillary has represented more African Americans than there are people in Vermont, Bernie's home state. In the 60s, Hillary organized a two-day strike on Wellesley campus to recruit more black students and professors. And Bernie Sanders was arrested protesting segregationist policies in Chicago. And in the 80s, he supported another outsider's historic run for the presidency, Jesse Jackson. Jackson, who is still undecided on who he will back. Ooh, feel that burn. But then we have Hill's husband. As president, Bill enacted some of the harshest reforms to the criminal justice system. Strict sentencing, three strikes laws, basically expanding the prison industrial complex. And while Hillary is not her husband, even though being a former first lady has totally been the springboard of her political career, she did back him on a 1994 crime bill, saying that some black youth are
super predatory. No conscience, no empathy. We can talk about why they ended up that way, but first we have to bring them to heel.
Since then, both Clintons have walked back on their support of tough-on-crime bills. It turns out that Bernie Sanders actually voted for the bill, though he had reservations. But he did vote against another Clinton legacy that was disastrous for poor people and people of color, welfare reform.
In many respects, our country is becoming a poorer and poorer nation. And not to talk about the causes of poverty is absolutely absurd.
He was right to hate the legislation. It cut $54 billion in funding from welfare and limited the time people could be on it. A recent study found that between 1996 and 2011, the number of families living on $2 a day more than doubled. Fast forward to today. Both Bernie and Hillary have had speeches interrupted by Black Lives Matter protesters, and both have set up meetings with organizers. They've also both outlined bold plans to end mass incarceration and police misconduct. In the end, race is a bigger issue in this election than it was when a black man was front runner. Thanks, Obama. So who's going to win over the black vote? And more importantly, who's going to stay woke?
And we are back. After the so-called upset of the Michigan vote and Hillary did not win, I was listening to a news report, and here in the Detroit area, right outside of Detroit, in Dearborn actually has the highest population of Arabs outside of the Middle East, whatever the Middle East is. But Dearborn has like the highest population of Arabs. And those people came out in droves and voted for Bernie Sanders. In fact, I actually have a friend that's from Jordan. And he actually spoke about how his community is throwing all of their support behind Bernie Sanders. So I thought that was quite interesting. So I just want to share that little piece. So who are you voting for? Call in and let us know. We'd love to hear. Let's see here. Let's King B. King B is on the line with us. Hey, King B, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you doing? How's everybody else? Who's with us?
Doing very well, King B. I'm here. We have a caller. Let's take a call, King B.
Okay.
Well, greetings to you, King B, as well as to you, Black Rose, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. Greetings. How are you?
It's been a while since we last spoke. I'm doing as well as can be expected. Where are the other two ladies? Icy Hot as well as Delta.
Delta should be calling in shortly. I think she's sending out the link for the show right now. And let's see.
Yeah, I did get Icy Hot.
Yeah, Icy Hot. She must be coming in from church. So she'll probably be calling in soon. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sarah, so what do you think about Bernie winning Michigan?
Well, as you stated, with the high percentages of Arabs that it has out in Dearborn, Michigan area, and I could understand why Bernie Sanders is winning that over Hillary Clinton, because he cannot forget the abysmal record of Hillary Clinton as Secretary of State and what she did with Libya and Gaddafi, which started this mass exodus of these people risking their lives at sea, as well as with Syria, because she was involved with Syria, and all of those tens of thousands of people, blacks as well as other nationalities, that perished in the Mediterranean and other bodies of water, trying to make it into Europe. And now they're over in Europe, and they're being killed. So they can't come back home, and they're not wanted in Europe, and the Europeans are the ones that caused them to have to flee for their lives and take refugees in their country. So they're like between the devil and the deep blue sea. They have nowhere to go. So I can see why the Muslims who are over here, they're definitely with side with Bernie Sanders, even though he called himself a non-practicing Jew. But they figure that, hey, you know, putting his record up against Hillary Clinton, they'll go ahead and take their chance with this minor devil than to go ahead and go with the big devil.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's something that I can see many of them saying, and definitely hear some of them saying too, because people are just they're not really feeling Hillary Clinton. Thank goodness some of these people are finally waking up and understanding and revering her record. And when she stands at a podium and speaks about black people don't have jobs and these people don't have jobs and da 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 and people are incarcerated. Yeah, and that's what I always say. Why are people really challenging her on that? And
I mean,
and just calling her out, holding her feet.
She has the unmitigated gall to say something like that when she and her husband were the architects of mass incarceration, free trade, all of the above that would cause black men in particular to not be wanted to be working for these big firms, because they would rather hire outsource labor, with it paying way below the American average wages, which is always profit over investment. They don't invest in the communities that are hurting. Matter of fact, we are the invisible man. Did you all notice that this devil named Trump, he's blaming Bernie for the protesters disrupting his rally. He's blaming Bernie. He's not blaming Hillary. Now, if you read between the lines and what you're trying to give across, Bernie is a Jew and he's a socialist. Hillary is an American woman who's a patriot, and she don't have her people doing that, but she's a patriot. You know, connotation that he's giving off, this devil's giving off, is trying to give Hillary a lift or a leg up.
Well, King B, take it. We have to look at it like this. Remember, Donald Trump said that he gave to Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton, Global Foundation, and him and the Clintons are close friends.
You also
have to look at this as Donald Trump's daughter Ivanka is married to a Zionist Jew. So is Hillary Clinton's daughter is married to a Zionist Jew. Matter of fact, his daughter converts to Judaism. As did Hillary Clinton's daughter. Yeah. She converted to Judaism because they're Orthodox Jews. And in order for him, in order for them to get married, she had to do a conversion in order for them for that marriage to be honored. So both of those are married to Zionist Jews, Orthodox Jews.
There's a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we see our people still don't know the evils of Zionism and what it means for the survival of the unborn generation. Zionists are ruthless, unrelenting, and fanatical. Three diabolical flaws that has no chance of black people and the unborn generation of blacks surviving.
That is true. These are the ones that always like to tie themselves to black people because they know that black people are looking for white validation. And since Jews are the most recent whites that have been accepted as being white people, they have always dangled that carrot in black people's face and said, well, okay, well, we have always been your friend. We have always extended, we've always allowed you to buy on credit and then blah, 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 to do what other white people wouldn't. But look at the markup and the quality of goods that you were given in order for you to get this so-called credit from white people. They're fleeced off of us in order for them to advance themselves economically, within which to be accepted into the white fold. They use black people economically for that. And not
teach,
only
teach.
Not only with that part economically. The slum lording and all of that, you live right here in New York. I happened to hear a Spike Lee commercial played on a station out of Chicago. And Spike Lee is doing a commercial for Bernie Sanders. He is saying, oh, vote for Bernie because Bernie's a Brooklyn boy. And, you know, don't forget that Bernie marched with Dr. King. Bernie did sit-ins in Chicago when he was a student at the University of Chicago and all that kind of stuff. And I'm saying to myself, I said, Spike Lee, I've lost whatever little bit of respect that I have to Spike Lee. After I heard a commercial, he has gone, he is totally off my radar. I have zero respect for Spike Lee. Chirac, and then this club that he's pushing in there for Bernie Sanders. Now, it makes it seem that any white person who comes slumming with an ulterior motive, no, you don't want to use that in a commercial to say, because of that, what he did 50-some years ago, we need to look at that and be grateful that this white man got a few rocks thrown at him and beat up by his people, so therefore we need to vote for him. If Bernie had all of this, if Bernie had all of this connection to the black community for 50 years ago, why is it that he is not connecting with the black community? Why is it that he can connect with black people in South Carolina, Georgia, and all of these areas where there are majority black people? Why is that connected with him if he's so much of a friend of black people?
Sarah.
Yes.
Where does Hillary come in at to be historically, or her record say that she and her husband are friends as well? I mean, they're more of a hypocrite than he is because when he, before Bill Clinton was sworn in as president, he had to prove to white folks that he was soft on blacks getting capital punishment by letting Ricky Ray Richter be given the death penalty and carried it out when it was known that he had blown a portion of his brains out when he was like a child, like a third grade child. And out of that, he formulated mass incarceration, three strikes and you're out, the free trade. Look, I know that Bernie is not a saint. I know that he has his faults. But listen, the Congressional Black Caucus never was in the forefront of making concession demands to Clinton. And they said it wasn't making any concession demands to Bernie Sanders. But I'm saying, what makes Hillary any better than Sanders when she has proven, her and her husband have proven that they were our enemies? And black people have this propensity to reward our enemies and punish our friends.
Well,
I'd rather make a deal with Sanders. At least I would think he would be more reflexive, as far as flexible about concession demand. Well, see, our people don't make concession demands.
I would have to disagree with you. I don't care for Hillary Clinton. I don't care for none of these people that are running up here. None of them bodes well for black people, period. Because right now we are coming from a begging standpoint with where we on our knees, half out, begging for somebody to give us some sort of concession, because we did not prepare a platform to put forth anything that is that we want to be recognized with.
Right.
Even if it's
right.
Hillary Clinton, Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, all of these people are running to represent this empire. This empire has used black people and put us in the position where we are in today. And it has no, and this empire is not going to be the one to get us out from this slump. We're going to have to get ourselves out of this, because we're the only people that's been fighting this empire.
True.
Everybody else has been trying to make concessions and to get themselves a comfortable spot within this empire.
But
it's black people who've been fighting it.
And we have,
now, Bernie Sanders, he said that he is against reparations for black people. So you know he don't have my full support.
He don't have none of them.
Did he say why not? He's not for black people.
He said it's too divisive. He said right now, he said it's too much of a divisive topic. That's what he said. Now, the same damn thing could be said for Jewish people that's still getting money over 70 damn years.
Well, that's why.
They're still getting money. It's too much of a damn divisive topic, and we need to stop giving it to them.
So that's why our so-called leaders need to have been in his space to clean his clock. Because Israel is still getting compensation from America for not coming to the aid of the Jewish people when they were, what came over here on a boatload, and the boat was sent back to their certain death. And America is giving Israel, how much was the figure?
They've
got
too much. They're giving
people 15
or so billion every year.
Every year, guaranteed
money off the top that is given to them. Germany is still paying them reparations. Well, Germany needs to pay them because they fought in Europe. What President Bush did as being the banker for Hitler and a couple of these other wealthy and well-heeled white people over here who backed the Hitler regime, it needs to come out of their fund. My taxes that I'm paying, I shouldn't have to be paying for damn Israel and for them stealing somebody else's land. I shouldn't have to be paying all of my taxes.
And then you got Senator Chuck Schumer, who's like a foreign agent. He is the overseer in Congress to make sure that Israel gets that and more. And any politician that even give a whimper that they don't want to aid Israel any further, they would find themselves voted out of office by someone that was put up and propped up by the Zionist clique. Israel has over 467 agents, if not more than that, but I heard it was a modest estimate. But we're talking about agents that are here on the mission, and they could care a fig about hurting the American people, blacks in particular, who haven't had it so bad since we lost our Reconstruction rights. We haven't recovered from the Reconstruction, the days of Reconstruction. And the NAACP, the Congressional Black Caucus, all these high, well-known organizations that are representing us, they've been misrepresented, and I don't call them elected officials, I call them selected. Because by the time we get to vote for these black faces in politics, they're already selected in a back room, but no one knows who these people are. And you see, there was a time when pastors were fearful of Dr. King, so he would keep them on their P's and Q's about being involved with supporting worthy causes for our people. That's why the Progressive Black Convention right now has been reduced to a dysfunctional organization, because none of your well-known progressive churches can give reasons why they should be considered progressive when they're not challenging these local politicians. Look what happened right here in New York. A young man was killed in his own house by a police officer who didn't have a search warrant, broke into the house, shot this boy, Ramari Graham, in the Bronx, in his house, in front of his grandmother and his six-year-old brother. The federal government said they can't find, investigators cannot find anything to indict the cop. And this is totally outrageous that none of these Democratic elected officials that look like you and I has had a mumbling word to go in the space of this mayor. The city council is predominantly black. They ain't saying nothing. And this cop and first black DA, Robert Johnson, he pulled a bit of a typo where the judge let the case of the cop. Let the cop go because it was a typo. You know that's a bunch of bull. There was no typo.
As you said, there, King Lee, we, our problem is that we have, like the U.S. attorney who's from India that is representing this case, that closed the case, saying that there's been no civil rights violation that they find in the Romali Graham case. Our problem as black people is we have been stuck asking for civil rights, for our cases to be adjudicated based on a civil right. How in the hell can you go and act on civil people to give you civil rights? That's our damn problem. We're not asking to be treated as a human being. We ask to be treated as a civil being by a bunch of people who have shown themselves to be uncivilized. These people have been the white man, and I'm using this pejorative statement. I'm saying the white man, period. You open up a dictionary on the murderer, genocider, killer, whatever names you want to come up with, you could just see his picture under there, because they are the image of what you would call a pathological psychopath. Because every continent these people have been on, starting in Europe, Australia, moved to the Pacific, to Asia, to Africa, to the Americas, the Antarctic, they have committed genocide. They're the only race of people who have committed who have such massive bloodshed on their hands.
Shall we
compare them to nobody else? African people haven't done that to anybody else.
Shall we call it the 3 D's? Death, disease, and destruction. You going on with that?
That is their modus. These people have been, they are very destructive. Now I'm sure, you know, wherever they come from, out the outer space, they probably did the same damn thing up there, because why they were banished and put on this damn earth to do the same crap to us down here. So they probably came up for killing up the people from wherever they came from. So these people have shown themselves to be uncivil people. And black people are locked into this 1964 Civil Rights Act, where we keep running around asking ourselves to be treated as, to be given a civil right. We're not asking for human rights. We're asking for civil rights. And this is what infuriates me, because we're asking an uncivilized group of people to be civil and to give you something civil. And they have shown themselves that they're uncivilized.
Uncivil. And the biggest thing I have with this so-called Civil Rights Act, they insult us, our intelligence, because it's not perpetual. Had it been perpetual, it would have been called a bill. A bill is perpetual. An act is temporary, and it's got to be voted on every 25 years. And you got a predominant Republican Congress who have gutted the Civil Rights.
Forget Republican, you know, stop saying Republican, King B. Just say the Congress, period, because the members of Congress, Democrats and Republicans, they've all colluded with each other within which to gut this bill. As you said, when these people gave us this act in 1964, it was to shut us down and to quell what they see on the horizon that was happening with black people uprising. And they put in these little caveats within the bill to know that eventually they're going to come back and they're going to take it from us. That is why they put a 25-year limit. We have to come back in and review it to see, okay, have improvements been made? And who's gonna be the decider as if improvements are being made? The same damn people that are responsible for putting you in this fix, they're now turning out to be the judge to say, okay, well, we're no longer committing genocide to these people, so therefore we can stop. You can take out this part here. We can stop doing it. You're putting the same people, you're putting the killer in charge of the prison and telling him, okay, he needs to make a decision as to whether or not he want to let out these prisoners. That's what this activist is doing.
Yeah, when I say the Republicans, it's only because they are the majority in Congress, and most of your Republicans are from the South. Black people forgot the history or don't know it for a fact. The origin of these Republicans, they were once Democrats. What made them become Republicans? It was when black people got the right to vote, bill passed, and the Voting Rights Act passed. Both of them were acts, not bills. And so if you are a citizen, see, we don't use the common sense to understand, if you are a citizen of a country, why do you have to have a bill passed? An act passed and not a bill. If you are a citizen, you automatically have voting rights and human rights. As far as this is what Malcolm said, that's what he gave his life for. We never had been considered citizens, never was considered human beings. We're the only ethnic group that's defamed in the Constitution. It says we're 3/5. No other concept, no other ethnic group in this country has been called subhuman.
That is quite true.
And our leaders in Congress, who are many of them are Greeks, who I dare say facilitated the assassination of Dr. King, just as a Greek, Andrew Young is a Greek, Abernathy is a Greek, all these Greeks surrounding King had facilitated his assassination.
And so was Dr. King. Dr. King was also a Greek.
He broke the rule. He broke the rule.
Let's take a quick break, Candy. We'll come right back after that, and we'll pick right back on that. And I'm also going to share this Bernie Sanders clip on reparations. So let's take a quick break. We'll bring in Icy Hot, and we'll be back. Stay with us.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
A lot of African Americans are starting to call for reparations for the many years of stolen labor through slavery. Is that something that you would support as president?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it would be, first of all, its likelihood of getting through a Congress is nil. Second of all, I think it would be, you know, very divisive. I think the real issue is when we look at the poverty rate among the African American community, when we look at the high unemployment rate within the African American community, the incarceration rate within the African American community, we have a lot of work to do. So I think what we should be talking about is making massive investments in rebuilding our cities, in creating millions of decent paying jobs, in making public colleges and universities tuition free, and working on child care. Basically, targeting our federal resources to the areas that it is needed the most, and where it is needed the most are in impoverished communities, often African American and Latino.
And so with that said, I would also have to say exactly what you said, Sarah. So while we constantly sending money over to Israel, since we need that money to be focused in certain areas, in certain impoverished areas, let's bring in Feather Light. You have some breaking news for us. So
I don't have breaking news. Hello, everyone. Hi, Sarah.
Let me open up Sarah's mic again. King B and Icy Hot, welcome in.
Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Yes.
Hello, everyone.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi.
Hey.
What do you have for
us? Oh, it's so nice to be in everyone's midst. Yes. And I saw the topic for tonight, and I wanted to do a little mind, body, and spirit conscious piece on a subject, which is, you know, watching the news. So have you started talking about it yet? Your topic?
Yes, we have.
Okay. All right. So the title of this is called Breaking News, all right? So, visualize this. This is the scene. There's this guy, he's a dealer, he's doing his cart, you know, with his hands moving real fast. And then there's this couple in front of him, lady and a man. And so, he whips out his cart, and he says, is this the cart? And then the guy says, yeah. And he says, how did you do that? And the guy with the card says, I can't tell you that. It's magic. Sleight of hand, my friend. While you're busy watching the deck in my left hand, the magic was happening in my right. That's why it's called magic. Magic cannot happen unless you're not paying attention. Okay? Magic cannot happen unless you're not paying attention. Okay. Sensational news story about man getting shot while eating hot dog. Woo! Sensational news story about woman gets run over while in wheelchair, just released from hospital. Woo! Sensational news, house burns with 13 occupants, 5 of them children. Oh, television tells lies visually. Television tells lies to our vision. Many of these are just stories. Many are not true. It's a script. It's entertainment. Yes, some of these things are true. Yes, there's some great things happening out there. But there's also a lot of misinformation, propaganda, used as a tool for mind control. You remember when all the news was 1 in 4 African-American women has AIDS. Oh, every time a group of 4 or more of us was together, we'd bring this subject up and we go like, okay, what's really going on here? And we finally figured out, okay, we see what you're doing. You're tearing people against African Americans. I don't watch the regular news. Like Rose will tell you, I haven't watched the news in forever. I'll say, what's going on? And she, oh, really? I have several reasons why, and I like to share. Most of the news we see, and these are my personal beliefs, just not, you know, believe what you want to. Most of the news we see is fear-based, which plays on our emotions. It makes us angry. Fear sells, but it doesn't serve us in the long run. Waste so much time watching the news. That's what we do. We waste a lot of time, and this time could be used so much more wisely. Yes, I believe we need to keep up with what's going on. But hear me when we just spend hours and hours and we believe everything we see. We cannot believe everything we see, and we cannot believe everything we think. We could be doing something good for ourselves on some of that time. Also, it tends to depress you. It robs you of your energy. You feel so drained when you die. You can't even do anything except what you do every day mechanically. How can you follow your own dreams if you're living your life through someone else's? Some people watch the soaps and actually become ingrained in these people's lives. They call them by their first name and everything. Going home for me, to my home in Memphis, is depressing. I love my mother, but she has these big 60-inch screen TVs, 3 of them, and they're on the news all day long. Media works on your subconscious. It keeps you in perpetual fear. You become paralyzed. You're waiting for the next big disaster, 1 or 2 minimum a day. It's their job. That's what they're hired to do. There's something called problem, reaction, solution. Create the problem. Weapons of mass destruction. Ooh. The reaction is anger. The solution is war in Iraq. There were no weapons of mass destruction found. They admitted it. Oh, well, moving right along. Some people are very adept at manipulation. Media is very cunning. They make us believe in what is not true. They can change our perceptions, distort our reality, and create illusions. Much of the media we see is controlled by a few people. Time Warner, Disney, ABC, Rupert Murdoch. He has hundreds of companies under him. So, listen, whoever owns the news station controls them. Therefore, they can dictate what is being shown to you. So there's always a hidden agenda. They're in the business for a reason. While you're watching the left hand, fascinated by its fast movements, the more important thing is going on in the right hand. And finally, what if 7 billion people on this planet all got together and united? Wow. The news separates people. They planted in our heads. Say Muslims are bad people. because of 9/11. So every time the T word is mentioned, a Muslim picture is plastered across the news. So people started separating from these Muslims, shunning them. A crime is committed, and a threatening-looking black man's face is shot across the screen repeatedly, day after day after day. And people start separating from them. Then when these groups of people are tortured, murdered in cold blood, broad daylight, even the children and the seniors and the women, people are apathetic because these people deserve no sympathy, they say. The media divides people. So, solution, we create our own news, like we are doing here at Black Talk Radio. There are so many other independent news sources out there with the internet. It's our duty, people, to become aware and what? Unplugged! Namaste.
Namaste. Yeah, yeah.
Namaste. Thank you, Aja. And I wish
you
on to hear that piece because she really needs to hear that.
Yes.
Who? Mother Dunning. Yes.
Hey, Mother Dunning.
No, she's not on. I'm saying I wish that she were on to hear that.
Oh, wow.
Yes, Mother Dunning was really my counterpart. Oh, Lord. Well, hey, King B, what were you saying?
No, I was saying that we need to have understanding that this government could never repay for free labor that black people had to work in this country for over 400 years, free labor. But what should be discussed to compensate for the work of free labor that there would be eternal or perpetual exemption from taxation? What we pay in taxes would be going towards building hospitals, schools, universities, libraries, to hire, train black men to be construction workers, scientists, lawyers, especially lawyers. This money could be used for that. We pay a lot of money in taxes.
Let the
people who didn't have to, they came over here from Europe or other parts of the world to come from subjugation to freedom. We came from freedom to subjugation. And everybody's gotten rich off of us. I say eternal exemption from taxation perpetually. And there's the money that would compensate for all those years of free labor that we can now put it in a bank like a trusted black bank that's not on the way out, a bank that's not on its way out, you know, a trusted black bank or a credit union where that money could be in each congressional black district, where we would have a record as to where the money is going and what it is being, as far as a record of where the money has is being used for uplifting the community. There shouldn't be that one broken down or depleted house that is in disrepair. There shouldn't be that one school that's going without proper equipment. Look at the schools, public schools in Newark. All this time, the children were drinking water from the fountain that was lead poisoning. Now, this wasn't just yesterday. So you have these old plumbing in the black community into our schools, and the children are drinking the water. And they know, the enemy knows that if your child is lead poisoned, it's affected for the rest of its life. And the heinous crime of letting your child become lead poisoned, it affects the unborn generation. So they know what they're doing. But like I said before, we need to have the discussion. Never was discussed before. Eternal exemption from taxation.
That's also a good point that you made there, King B. And also, we need to, everything that was stolen from us, it needs to be given back. All of the land that was taken from us, all of the property, real estate, and all of those things that have been taken from us, all of the patents that have been taken from us, which is why the white man controlled the patent office so that he could steal your doggone patents, because patents are how these people, and copyrights are how these people, they make their money.
That's,
and they've stolen a whole lot from black people, and we need to be compensated for that.
See, this is why blacks need to know the history about the Republicans and the Democrats. The Republicans fearing a second civil war, cut a deal with the South ran by the Democrats. Here these two parties now, y'all. The Republicans told the South, the proviso was, if they never talk about ever seceding from the Union, they were going to pull the Union troops out of the South that was guaranteeing black people their reconstruction rights. Then they told the South, ran by Democrats, you could do to the blacks whatever you wanted. Now that was the origin, the background for the Klan being born and the lynchings. So we're talking about something that our people never had black lawyers who were like the type of like ultimatum type lawyers that was not only zealous, but a social engineer. Mostly the black lawyers are social parasites. A lot of them are Greeks. They have no affinity to the black community. They see the black masses as asses. So they get a lot of them become
even with all of that chanty with the black lawyers, you gotta forget. We seem to be overlooking that the majority of black people who were held in bondage or were subject to be snatched up, even in the people living in the north, the so-called free states. Any white slave catcher could have snatched them up and says, "Okay, you look like a runaway from somebody else's plantation. I could snatch up a certain any black person and take you down south and sell you."
Yeah, but I'm I'm talking about the Reconstruction period. We never recovered.
But you're saying about we didn't have lawyers. But what I'm trying to put into context is that the majority of black people were uneducated. We can't look at a few of them who might have all left the W.E.B. Du Bois and the others who might have had an opportunity because of their mulatto heritage to get a higher education. The majority of black people didn't have that ability to be schooled, so therefore that they could be well-versed in torts and legalese within which to look over contracts and say, okay, this is beneficial or not beneficial to black people. When white people free us from slavery, for one thing, we didn't get no sort of mental health. We didn't get no sort of any kind of compensation. Says, okay, y'all are getting ready to be freed. This is what we need to do to gradually let you get back on your own. Look at what they do with all these immigrants that come over here. They bring them in. They submerge them. They put them into these different schools. They let them learn the language. They give them mental health access. All of these things they give to them before they finally put them out there on their own. We didn't get that. They just said, okay, y'all free, y'all go. Y'all could stay and share crops, or y'all could go. We didn't get none of that.
You see, we need to understand also.
Totally different status.
Yeah, you see, if they were concerned about doing the right thing, first of all, it's not about mental health. It would have been called debriefed. When you are held against your will for a prolonged period of time, taken from where you was living peacefully, not bothering anybody, you was living at peace, and they kidnap you and bring you to a location thousands of miles away, I feel that it would have been proper and humane if they were to have debriefed us. Debriefing means it helps you to become almost back to where you were before you was kidnapped, brainwashed, and what they did to our brains was a part of the slavery where they had to enslave our minds so that we would go along with our slave conditions. And
but who's going to do the debriefing, Canty? Because the same people that captured us and abused us, no, you're putting them to be in charge of debriefing us also.
No, what I'm saying, let me answer you. There would have to be black psychiatrists from around the nation and part of the world that have a proven track record of knowing what it is to debrief someone. See, we have to understand that the enemy cannot free our minds. We're going to have our own do it because, you see, I'm going to say it to the white man. He did a masterful job in enslaving us mentally to the point where we're salivating to vote for Hillary and don't know that she has always been our enemy. There is no track record that indicates that Hillary and her husband Bill was our friend.
Excuse me, What do you think is the cause of this, and what can we start to do to undo it?
Cause of what?
Of a situation of us salivating, as you say, at the mouth, wanting to vote for Hillary because.
What is causing it is the damage done to our brain. See, Queen Mother Moore was one of my mentors. She said we're suffering from oppression, psychoneurosis, and it has never been dealt with. Our black Catholics are not going to deal with that because they're making money off of our ignorance. Every time you see Hillary campaigning, she's hustling inside a black church. The news on tonight, this is somebody's black church. I'm saying that the black church has been found wanting. Most of these black pastors hated Dr. King. They partied when Dr. King killed by this government. Not one black pastor is going to hold a memorial service commemorating Dr. King's assassination. Because they know that they had to tell their congregation the government killed Dr. King. So what is causing it is that you got these black faces in high places, including your black pastors, mostly the black pastors, that have been, shall we say, facilitating our demise. And we don't have the leadership that is truly for the people. When you do get a man or woman who's for the people, they get vilified, ostracized, and maybe end up dead. How are you going to have a lawyer like Arthur Maddox who will take your case pro bono and will not put you on the witness stand, and guess what? The jury will find you not guilty based on how his skillfulness and knowing how it was to not put his client on the witness stand, but to get it out of the witness for the prosecution to show the jurors that his client was not lying. His client is innocent. We don't have lawyers that have the skill in knowing how to defend black people. When black was in slavery, there was no need for blacks to have lawyers on slavery because he was a non-entity. He was subhuman. The first law school, William and Mary.
So they thought. Don't say it like that. That's how they felt. Yeah, that's how they felt.
They put it in the Constitution that we were 3/5.
But we know why they did that. That was really kind of legal. But what I have observed is that we as a people, too often we put all of our eggs in one basket. We wait for one person to lead us, and then when that person gets shot down or killed or bought over, then we just go, oh Lord, well, when you scratch your head and then we sit around and wait for someone else. We should not just wait on a leader. We should do what we have to do as individuals. If everybody did something themselves, like becoming aware of what is being fed to us, as I just said, how the news media feeds us, these people would not be so gung-ho on Hillary and so easily swept away by their pastors if they weren't being constantly fed information that they're believing. We are only seeing on the news good stuff about Hillary. You know, nobody is brave enough to go back and pull that information that y'all were just talking about of all the things that her and Clinton did to bring down the black community, the three strikes you're out thing. I mean, so many more men locked up. I mean, this is not being broadly spread out to people. So yeah, they've got selective amnesia. You know, they just think of her as doing the nay-nay. You know, coming to their church, clapping their hands, singing loud, you know, and you know, asking thing. For some fried chicken, and they're just sold.
So
I mean, where was?
I think that's a good.
Something's happening.
Yeah. Must be too hot for the wires. Cool the wires down. Talking some heavy volts stuff here. Sip it down.
Yeah. Somebody's messing with the wires.
Black Rose, if I were you, I would hang up and call back in, cause I could see you talking, cause I see the audio meter moving, but we're not hearing anything. And again, we have been experiencing issues these past couple of weeks with this conference line, and I can't put my finger on what the problem is. We can hear everybody else, but we could not hear you.
Hello?
Yes. Hello? Yes, ladies, if y'all want to continue until Black Rose gets her issues figured out. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, so Sarah, you still on?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So do you see how we are being manipulated into thinking a certain way? I mean, look at how much what's his name? I hate to even say his name. Trump is being how much news coverage he's getting. He doesn't even have to pay for all that money that they normally use to be on TV. Because the media is just really just promoting him so. Even on Facebook, you know, I keep seeing his face. I'm like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, stop talking about him. Stop giving him all that energy, you know?
Well, Donald Trump is running a white nationalist campaign similar to the Ku Klux Klan.
There you go.
This is to rally the white face who have been disenfranchised. First of all, there's no jobs in this country. There's no job growth. And the only thing that Donald Trump, because Donald Trump has to put forward a platform, that's exactly what he planned on doing. He is just throwing out inflammatory rhetoric. He's talking about building a wall to keep out the Mexicans, running on the xenophobia.
Okay, here's that horn. Buzzing again.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, King B, but I don't know what's going on.
Alright.
Okay, there's a buzzing noise on the line.
Yeah.
Cool. Scotty, are you there? Hey, stop now.
Okay,
everybody
can people
here?
Still hear the buzzing?
It's going out.
Yeah.
It's done.
Oh, you know what? Actually, I think that was me sitting next to the heater. You know, I'm in this hotel room, so I was sitting at the desk next to the heater.
Okay, here it goes again.
Yeah. May that be the heater? I think it's Uncle Sam.
Sounds like it's the connection.
Yeah.
Well, are y'all talking stuff that might inflame people's head that they don't want to
You're trying to unplug people. Unplug people.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, boy, here you go.
I gotta get her to my wife, so I'll talk to you later. Take care, y'all.
Okay, King B, good night.
Okay, King B, good night.
Nice.
Okay, can anyone hear me?
I can hear you, but it's a lot of, it's buzzing.
It'll stop.
Okay, it's going now.
It
stopped.
Let me see something else here. Let's see.
Oh, it's back on.
Okay. Okay. All right. I think that is my earpiece, unfortunately. And I'm going to get King B. King B wants to come on. He takes up the whole first hour talking, and then he jumps off, and he doesn't give anybody an opportunity to speak.
He should
King
but
B,
me and King B told you about that earphone that came from Family Dollar.
I'm saying... Earpiece, everyone. I go through it like crazy. This is my second one in 2 weeks, I think. It's just, it's unreal. So Isaac, let's talk about your topic that you brought in, because it plays into our overall topic for tonight, being brainwashed, and while we still falling for the same game and the same. We still fall for the same political tricks and everything that's forced upon us. Side conversation. You get X'd out. Side conversation. So, Aja, talk to us more about that.
Yes.
You want to have some discussion around that.
Okay, well, the part about the media dividing people. okay? Because the media puts it into our minds that certain people are just really undesirables. And they keep, and they show things to back it up, so to speak. And we look at it and go, oh, well, you know, they are doing it to each other. I mean, oh, wow, yeah. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. and we eat it mm-hmm. we eat it like food, you know. Mm-hmm. and so instead of using our own, you know, perception or whatever of what things really are, then we take it for granted that what we see on TV is surreal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's just hold that thought and let's take a quick break, and then we're going to come right back and we can pick back up on that. I have another clip that I'd like to share, and we can discuss more on our topic. The number to call in is 641-715-3660, and the code is 549032. And please don't forget to press pound, and we will get you in, and you can share your thoughts.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Roots are as old as the country itself.
We continue to live the paradox of a nation founded with the bold preamble that all men are created equal with certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, while at the same time denying all of those basic civil and human rights to slaves, and writing into our original constitution the rule that black people counted as only 3/5 of a human being. This paradox of a nation born with lofty ideals of equality and freedom, but extending those ideals primarily to wealthy white men, is the founding paradox of this nation, and it remains a paradox to this day, even now, as a black president sits in the Oval Office. Glorious promise and the ugly paradox, and yet we too often close our eyes and refuse to acknowledge the painful implications. As I was thinking about what I was going to say tonight and getting my notes together, I kept getting messages from folks who were heading to Selma this weekend. Racial justice advocates, civil rights advocates from all over the country are heading to Selma, and I heard the President of the United States himself plans to make an appearance to commemorate the historic civil rights struggles and victories there. Now, at times like these, at these moments of commemoration, it's tempting to be romantic about the past struggles and overly rosy in our assessment of the present. But such revisionism does not serve the dream that Dr. King and Ella Baker and so many others risked their lives for. Now, none of this is to deny the extraordinary gains that have been made in some spheres. I mean, I would deny and dishonor the sacrifices of people like Ella Baker and many, many others if I didn't acknowledge that my own life has been drastically, greatly improved because of their courage, their sacrifice, their advocacy. But if we're going to ask ourselves honestly as we commemorate Selma, how far have we come and where must we go from here? What is truly necessary as we work for justice in this new time, this new age? Then I think we must first pause and ask ourselves, how do we measure progress? We can measure it in all kinds of ways. The number of people who are CEOs or leading Fortune 500 companies, the number of black or brown politicians or presidents, or the number of people with two-car garages and SUVs. We could measure our progress in purely materialistic terms. Do we have as much stuff as we think we should? Stuff like money, cars, degrees, titles. Measuring progress in this way seems to make sense in a capitalist society where the goal is to compete to get more stuff. There are winners and losers, and everyone says they want to get ahead. Very rarely do we ask, get ahead of whom? And what will happen to them, those who are left behind? Well, I want to suggest that there is another way to measure progress, one that seems to have been forgotten in the years since Dr. King and Malcolm X were laid to rest. It's not a new measure by any means. To the contrary, it is very, very old. For centuries, it has been said by numerous philosophers and theologians that any society, any civilization, must be judged by how it treats its most vulnerable members and its prisoners.
I like the way she says that these killings are nothing new and that the rate of black killings is the same as it were during the days of lynching.
And exactly.
Some of you may have seen some of the old pictures when the NAACP used to hang out the signs saying another man was lynched today. And
yeah.
So if we look at that, then we can do a comparison and say, well, exactly. So, I mean, what has changed? I mean, how have we progressed? And also, let's pick back up on Aja's discussion in terms of us still being brainwashed, and being brainwashed in particularly by the media.
Right.
So some thoughts on that. Let's let Delta speak, because, you know, Delta, she loves the media. And
Delta's on the line?
Yeah, Delta's with us.
Yeah, I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, y'all finally let me in. I've been on for a while, but couldn't get in.
I know, because you almost have to jump in and cut Candy off, because, honey, he'll take us all the way to Reconstruction and Adam Clayton Style and Three Social Human Being Legally. I mean, I got his whole rap down. I hear it every week. So.
Hey, Delta, since you're on the line, how are y'all doing with that flooding? Because I heard about all that flooding in Louisiana and Mississippi. It didn't affect your area, did it?
No, we didn't get no flood around here in our area, none at all. We got hard rain on Friday. And other than that hard rain went away. But some people around, you know, like in low-lying areas, but
Yeah, that was pretty bad rain coming into Houston and the Houston area also. A lot of flooding around the Houston area, but I don't think it was as bad in Houston, was it, Haja?
No, not really, especially on this part of the town. We're up a little higher. We're not in the lower area. It just rained, just a nice rain.
Because I was watching in Shreveport, and because my son is in the reserve, my youngest, and it was showing that houses, all you could see, you couldn't even see the top of the street sign, so you could see how flooded it was in Shreveport. The top of the street sign, the stop sign was covered. All you could see was these houses with the satellite dish on the rooftop. That's the only thing that you could see to verify that there's a house.
It's my goodness.
Now that's
I said Shreveport never got flooded. Shreveport never got flooded. I was shocked as heck when I thought that Shreveport was under that much water. The Borgia City.
That's amazing.
You know they got a lot of flood in New Orleans now. New Orleans got a lot of flood.
Yeah, Baton Rouge. I heard Baton Rouge, New Orleans, that area. But I was surprised at Shreveport.
Yeah,
so you know the water gonna be even worse now with all this flood water, because a lot of the power plants and everything is gonna be inundated with all of the sewage, and everything is gonna get mixed up. So we gonna have even more bad water to be dealing with in the house.
So brainwashing.
But can I give two hot topics real fast? Is it too
late? Well, actually, Aja wanted you to speak on her topic that she brought up.
Yeah. Okay, what was it, Aja? I'm sorry.
Breaking News was the name of my piece.
Oh, okay.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. You didn't hear it?
No, no, she wasn't online when you...
Okay. Well, okay. Well,
let's give a brief synopsis.
Okay. Well, basically what I was saying is that the news media has a job to do, and their job is to give us sensational, quote-unquote, breaking news. They have to find something to earn their keep. A lot of it is, you know, a story, like they say. It's a story. They have to put something out there every single day, at least three or four, you know, breaking things. And I gave a couple of examples of things that happen and that make people go, ooh, wow, you know. And basically, it's called television, and it tells lies visually. It tells lies to our vision. And so we cannot, it is not wise, I'll say, to believe everything that we hear, or even believe everything that we think, because it's a part of brainwashing. It's they have the ability to change our perception of how we see things. You know, we go by what we hear on the news. If the news says that one in four African American women has AIDS, and we keep hearing this over and over and over, we start to believe it. Some of us do, you know. And then this creates a panic, and that's their job, to create panic, to create fear, and it sometimes paralyzes us. Every day we're waiting for this next big bomb to drop. And so we can't even do what we want to do. We can't follow our own dreams because we're so busy living the lives of other people that we see on TV. We're not going to even get into the soaps and the reality shows. But I mean, just news. And then we also have to think, Dr. Kruger, about the fact that much of the media that we see is controlled by just a few people, a handful of people. We got Time Warner, we got Disney, you got ABC, this guy Rupert Murdoch, who has hundreds of companies that he owns. So if you own TV stations, you have the right to say what is going to be shown on those TV stations. You are not liable to say, I only want the truth. No, you got to sell the news. So get out there and make me some news. So there's a hidden agenda. We have to be aware of that. And we also have to be aware. I gave a scenario at the beginning of magic being done, illusion. Okay, you're watching the guy doing magic and both of his hands are moving fast. And he's got the pretty little lady on the side, you know, distracting your attention with the scanty clothes. And then boom, all of a sudden it's magic. And then you say, wow, how did that happen? Well, you're watching the left hand is moving fast and then the right hand is the one that's doing all the tricks. So while we are watching this thing over here, something else is going on over here. Okay?
Yeah,
while they were gaining the momentum with the protests about, I think it was Eric Garner, okay, that was gaining a lot of national coverage, and it was very negative. Then all of a sudden, this may not be the one that's been so many horrible murders, but the one that all of a sudden a white cop got shot, and then they had to have his funeral, you know, and so that took the attention away from what the crowd, what the main people were trying to say. They tend to do that. You remember when all of the colleges, well, no, this one college, Missouri, the college, the football team, decided they were not going to play a game because of all the racism that was going on there, and it was being ignored, right? Okay, and even some Asians were complaining. So, I mean, things just stopped, heads rolled, because they needed that football team to play that next week. Okay, so other colleges started doing the same thing. I think even some big college, I forgot the name of it, starts at the end. They started doing it. And, huh? Notre Dame?
Was it Notre Dame?
I think it was. It was a very well-known college that you would just, you know, prestigious. They don't do that sort of thing. And it was gaining a lot of momentum, and people were looking at it. And then all of a sudden, you had the ISIS stuff in Paris. Whoop! Everybody's head whipped around and forgot all of that stuff. You know, that. So the news people, they do this. Now, this is the last thing, Dr. Cooper, and I want you to think about this, okay? I want you to think about this. This is regarding judgment. Judgment. What if 7 billion people? I know, but I just wanted, I was doing a pause. That's called a pause.
I think she's talking to somebody else.
Oh. I hope that you have been listening to me, Delta Cooper, all this time.
I sure have.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
She's multitasking.
You know we can do 8 things at once. We black folks.
It's the power of the woman. It's the power of the woman. The power of the black woman.
No, I got what Audrey was saying. I was trying
Okay,
to
but this it. Is the last one. I want you to think about this last one, okay? What if 7 billion people, the 7 billion people on this planet that they say, what if we all got together and united? Do you know how fabulous that would be? But the news separates people. They plant it in our heads that these people are bad, the Muslims are bad, the black men are bad, you know, because this happened and this happened and this happened. And then we separate from these people and we say, ooh, a Muslim probably did that, you know, involves the cheater, you know. So we start separating from them. And then when some awful things happen to these people, like, you know, the Muslims get blown away and the children get killed and the women get killed and the black people get killed and the babies get killed. people have already separated from those folks, so they develop an apathetic response, like, oh, well, you know, they were killing each other, you know, well, they did do this, you know, they did do that. And so people don't have sympathy for them. You know, what about, I'm not going to change the subject, but just to put it in relation to, what about the Jews? When all those people were burned and put in ovens and stuff, when I was coming up, I used to wonder, how come nobody helped them, you know, from other countries? You know,
Well, they did after it got to be so bad.
After it got to be so bad. They, so many, so the story goes, so many millions were killed before. So, but really what my basic thing is, what if, which is already really happening, there's a mass killing of a certain group of people and nobody did anything. Nobody says anything. You know, because even our own people will say, you know, if we just stop killing each other, you know, all this wouldn't be happening to us. No! Don't believe everything that you hear on the news. The news is going to always say it's the black people's fault that they're in the shoes that they're in, because they don't want to work, they're lazy, they kill each other, they this, they that. Even when we were doing fine on Wall Street, we weren't bothering anybody. We weren't running around killing each other. But what happened? Okay, that's all I'm trying to say. So, I am done, and I want some feedback.
Well, I think you described it very, very well. Because every time there is something that's happening, think about what was happening right before 9/11. They were really getting ready to get into a big discussion around racism and discrimination. I don't know if you all remember that or not. I said, yeah, that is what happens every time. When there's something that's significant that does not promote.
That's manipulation.
White supremacy.
That's manipulation.
You are absolutely on mark when it target, but I think a lot of people are not believing the news TV right now. I think a lot of people are just kind of saying, you all are full of a crock of, because they see what's happening in their neighborhoods and their communities, and then they look at the mainstream media, and what are they doing? And I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to be quiet on it. That piece around all of this publicity with Donald Trump, guess what? They're looking for the sensationalism, but the bottom line is this. Since he's promoting a white nationalist agenda, Ku Klux Klan, neo-Nazi type situation, it's not about him being able to trick somebody or play like he's just getting the rhetoric. That's how he feels. And guess what? The mainstream media is helping him to do this. It's not about ratings. No.
Yes.
If you got enough stuff you can go on that will get you some ratings, you can get enough black people out there that will talk that same trash, but you ain't looking for those kind of ratings, are you?
No. There you go.
So
the
ratings have to be congruent with white power structures and systems and racism.
Right.
But they're holding that up, and that's what the media is doing. That's why Bill Cosby could not buy NBC back in the, must have been the early 90s, late 80s.
Right.
That's why Queen Latifah and her partner there, that was someone she was trying to go into it with it to buy a major network. That's why they were stopped at the wheel. Because you are not supposed to have that kind of media power and access.
Power.
So you can change some minds too.
Right.
So this is very strategically done.
Yes.
So
the media is powerful.
It is. If that media says to you today, okay, this is who we're going to support, and this person is doing blase, you're not, because you can clearly see, even some of the white people don't want to be bothered with that kind of trash that man's talking. So they're not. They're telling that lie to people. The media is, well, we got him on here so much, and they're giving him all this free time instead of making him pay for it. He's getting all that free time because they're all wanting to keep it that way and start suppressing people even further. So,
and then you know what? Another thing that they're doing. Thank you for that. Another thing that that they're doing, in addition to what you just said about him gearing up the power structure that they want, that the vision that they have, is also it's getting feelers out. Who else feels this way? Who else feels this way? I know you're out there, and they're coming out of the bushes. You know, it's like kill them all. You know, it's some people that it's bringing out like a magnet, and then you see them on TV, and you think, ooh, he's got a lot of followers. You know, and it's it's really very, very successful what they're doing.
And so the sad part is this, is that those poor ones that are Republicans and the middle income that are Republican are going to be sad when they really catch a hold of what they're doing, because they really are not including them in the decision making either. They are all about the billionaire club, and they do not fit the billionaire club, and they will be the next ones they will be murdering massively.
Exactly. Exactly. Your seat is not guaranteed.
Yes. But even with all of that, you know, as you were saying, Aja and Mother Hattie, I look at this, I am not going to align myself with any Europeans. I don't care what they are bringing. I'm going to always give them that side eye look, because our history and their history in dealing with people has told us that they are never to be trusted. They are never, ever to be trusted. And our problem with us as Black people is we tend to give these people too many damn chances to keep doing us in over and over again, and we don't learn. We have over 500 years history with them to show us that it is not going to change. There is something organic about these people that make them very disagreeable, that they cannot get along with anyone. They will do good for a certain amount of time, but then something is going to trigger in them, because their whole idea is they are very, very selfish. They do not like
very
to share.
Selfish.
And the more resources get scarcer and scarcer, then you're going to see the real beastly nature of these people is going to pop out.
Mm-hmm.
Because when
you're
it is
right about that.
When
yep.
it's time to pull, they already don't like to share. And when it gets scarce, you're going to really, really see the real vicious canine nature about them, which is why they like to associate themselves with that dog, because they're just like that damn dog. They're very, they're very, very, very carnivorous, and they're very vicious. And I know I would never, ever, tie a bundle with nobody European, because our history as a people has told us we need to leave those people alone, leave everybody alone. Because if we can't get along internally within ourselves with people who look like us, I keep telling people, a dog is not going to go and find a home with a cat. A dog is not going to go live with a cat and say, you know what, I'm more comfortable. I like these cats. They're much better than you damn dogs. I'm not even going to fool with them no more. It ain't going to never happen.
No.
Wild animals in the world will ever leave their pack to go and line up with people who have been always their enemy. Who they know is their enemy. But we do it all the time.
We do it all the time. All the time. And so many people, the ice is colder. You know, it's like, a white person said, it must be true.
Because you have an antidotal relationship with them, which means that your one-on-one relationship that you might have with somebody white might be good. If, for instance, like myself, I always say, with myself and my husband, we've never had a negative experience with cops. We have two children that are in their 30s, male children, that have never had any negative incident with law enforcement. They've never been arrested. They've never been behind bars. They're all college graduate, advanced master's degrees, doing very well for themselves. But that does not mean to say that I'm going to take my personal relationship that I have with my children and use this as a basis to say that all cops are good.
I'd be out of my doggone mind, because I know statistics tells me it is not. They're just an anomaly of all the black men in the country that have managed to make it into their 30s without having a negative encounter with law enforcement. So I am not going to
base right.
my experience to say because of what I've had with law enforcement, then therefore all cops are good. And that's what a lot of
right.
us, we look at what our relationship that we've had with white people, which might be positive, and we use that to put a blanket stem to say, okay, everybody black should therefore have this type of relationship that I have with this white person. No, it is
right.
not so.
You're right about that.
All right, well, let's take a quick break and we'll come right back.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
And you're listening to The Lotus Place, and we have a caller from 804. Caller from 804-329. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes, how are you? Greetings.
What I want to say is we really don't have any news. What we have now are comments. I remember when I was a child, and that was during the Second World War, my father was blind. He never seen me. And we used to listen to the news. We had people like Gabriel Heater and different war correspondents. They gave us news, not what they thought or what they figured it should be. But when you're giving news, all you're giving is what happened, not your comments. And all we have now with them competing is one news facility trying to outdo the other one for a rating. Just give the news, and that's it.
And according to Canty, they're highly paid stenographers, and you just hand them a sheet of paper, and that's what they report. There's no real, like, investigative reporting that goes on. Like, I used to love to watch, what's his name from A&E, Bill, I can't think of his name. But,
Schaefer, Bill.
Bill Curtis.
Bill Curtis.
Yeah. I used to love Bill Curtis's investigative reporting. I mean, he was even out on the streets during the LA riots, after the Rodney King verdict. So, I mean, these days we really just don't have that. These people, they're actors. Don Lemon, all of these people, these people are government actors.
Crisis actors.
They're opinion givers. They give you their opinions.
Yeah.
They don't report in a neutral fashion. They put themselves into the story that they're reporting.
You used to couldn't do that. You just straight told the facts.
You didn't lean one way or the other. Yeah, you just leave it up to the audience to make up their mind as to which way to go. But these people, they're opinion makers, and their job is to sway you into thinking along the same lines as to how they are thinking or how they're told.
Right. They even go so far as to make jokes about the person that they're talking about, in a demeaning way, or you know, putting that out there to the audience, you know, and they believe in everything that they hear, but actually this is their own personal views of that person.
I remember listening to this so-called news reporter on CNN, and so she tried to throw out this false number of Latinos that were voting for Trump. And when the person that she was interviewing actually corrected her and said, based on the math, that number is this. And so the lady had, the CNN reporter had to come back, CNN anchor person, I don't even want to say reporting because they don't report crap. But the CNN anchor person or actress, she had to come back and correct herself. But had that woman not have been on top of what this anchor person stated, then that number would have just floated out for the rest of the day, an inaccurate number, again, supporting Trump. And so, to me, it's just a bunch of foolery, it's a bunch of games, it's a bunch of lies, and I really can't stomach a lot of it. And it does, to me, it brainwashes a lot of us.
That's what it's there for, because I was listening to a piece by the late Dr. Amos Wilson, speaking along that same line of also the demonization of black people, how this media is being used to make you demonize us so much in the media, so that when the onslaught come, when they start mass killing and incarcerating us, people are going to turn around and say, well, okay, those people are up to no good anyway, so it's a good thing that they're
exactly
here.
Exactly. They did it to themselves.
25 years ago. Yeah, that's exactly the line that Dr. Amos Wilson was giving. So we see Malcolm X said the same thing again about the media, the fourth branch of the government, how it would make your enemies into your friends and vice versa. And it's the same thing that these people are very, very good at manipulating, because what they run on is emotion. It's all emotion driven.
Yeah.
Why I don't watch it, because all of these things that they're showing with black people getting beat up at these Trump rallies and all of this stuff, they're trying to incite or elicit a certain response from the black community, and I'm not getting sucked in. I'm not going to buy it, especially the last incident with that brother who got clocked in Fayetteville, North Carolina, by this white guy. Now they said the guy's in jail. He got a $2,500 bond, and he don't have the money to bail himself out, so he's going to sit in jail until some judge or somebody might decide to, you know, let him go. But to me, I'm going to say something, I'm going to be quiet. It shows the insanity of black people who would put themselves at harm's way. Because I don't give a darn about, I don't see why anybody black would show up to a Donald Trump rally. But this is what integration has done to black people. They've given us this notion that you are free to go anywhere you want to go, do whatever you want to do, because white people can't stop you because you got your civil rights. This is what black people have been told. So now you have people going out here, going to a Klan rally, which is in the fact what it is when you go to one of these Trump things. It's a Klan rally. And our ancestors 100 years ago from now, in 1960, soon as they know that the Klan was getting ready to have a meeting and they're going to be burning crosses, everybody get out of town. They shut their house. They turn off their lights. They make it look like they're not
home.
They have somewhere to go. They got a cellar in their basement. They would put all their food in their basement. They would lock their cellar. They would disappear. Everybody off the streets, like nobody black live here no more. They would not make themselves scarce. But black people today, it's like we have gotten completely insane. We have been putting ourselves in places where we know our ancestors are rolling over in their grave and say, what the hell are these damn people doing? It's like they don't recognize their enemies anymore. And that's because of this foolish integration we've been put in schools with these people. And now you're told, well, oh, I have some white friends and white people ain't all bad. And all of a sudden, nonsense you hear coming in people's mouths. But in the meantime, you're the one getting arrested and not the guy who clocked you in your face.
So, Carla, let me ask you. So, did you see the clip of the young man being punched in the face and with you, do you think that he was correct in just going ahead on and going up the steps, filing a lawsuit, or should he have clocked him back, or should he have just not been there at all?
That's our retired chair.
It was his right to be anywhere that was legally he could be. Now, for him to take in the law into his own hand, what I would have done, I would have first tried to pursue it through the law, and then if the law did nothing, I would take matters into my own hands. Mm. I would say that, well, I tried, and you did nothing. So mm-hmm. it's up to me to do what I can to rectify the situation.
May I ask you the question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. If I were the guy, I didn't see the clip, I'm just listening to what you guys are saying. But if I were the guy and somebody, you know, one of them walked up to me and clocked me, of course I'd fall on the ground. I would say, oh no, you didn't. Oh no, you, did y'all see that? Did y'all? I know y'all saw them. I'm out of here for a minute. Make sure everybody, shoot blood. Okay. All right. Which way is the courtroom? Courthouse? Fight them legally. We need to learn the law. Fight them legally. Do not fight them back. How many of us were hung when we legally hit the person that hit us back right after slavery? You have no right. Yeah, it's written, but when it comes down to the nitty gritty, you could not just hit a white person because they hit you first. And
well,
still
I'm
today,
I'm going to disagree.
It's
going to
be twisted around.
That was me. I just said that was me. That was me.
Women in the law enforcement officer, I've seen fights break out and have been in fights with white folks. I had a white woman to hit me from behind in an automobile. When the police got there, he went to her first. I said, sir, can't you see how the car's parked? What was I doing, backing up on her? They're going to get the high side every time, but you don't give them any leeway. You try to pursue it
first.
Then if you get no consideration, you just suffer the consequences.
Sir, I beg to differ. You see, that's the problem with black people and this legalese, because the law was created specifically within which to oppress us. Because
right.
we don't win with the damn law. If I'm the law of nature and the law of basic survival says that if you come in my territory, I have every right to protect you. If you clock me and I'm walking up a flight of steps, are you step out of nowhere and you hit me in my jaw, my basic reflex is to punch the shit out of you. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to deal with the law when it happens, because it's, you know, it's caught on film that you were the one who struck me first. And all I did was I reacted to you punching on me. And black people need to get out of this damn nonsense by running into the goddamn courts. We're the only group of people who rely so heavily on the United States injustice system, and we know that this system was created specifically to oppress us. We get the least from this system, but we have the most faith in this damn system. The white man don't have as much faith in it, and he created this damn system. He don't have as much faith in it, but we have more faith in it, and the damn thing has shown us over and over again that it does not give a damn about black people.
Where is this guy now? That what happened with the guy? He called
okay.
the guy back.
Let's let Dale to give the story.
Okay.
Sarah, either one, Sarah or Dale, both of you can share the story.
He reached. Our lawyer reached out to him. A lawyer reached out to that young man.
Okay, start from the beginning. Like what happened? He was at the Trump rally.
Okay. He was at the Trump rally. And him, not only thing I seen is like a group of people, well, you know how they get up and interrupt and hold their signs up. So after they told them to leave, the young men was leaving peacefully. They was walking up the steps, leaving peacefully.
Are these black guys?
These are black guys, and they was white ones too, but these three was black. But the white people was yelling at them, and the boys started yelling back. So the boy was just walking up the steps, and his face was turned to the left. And the white man got up out of his seat, and when the young man walked past him, which he was looking to the left, the man hit him on his right side.
Cole shot the young boy so hard. And the young boy didn't hit back. But me, I would have knocked him out cold.
Okay, so why is the young boy in jail? Did he go to jail?
No, he's not in jail.
No. They extorted him out.
The police
did surround him first instead of grabbing the white man.
They told the white man to go sit down. That's what they told him. They told him to go sit down. They saw the white man punch him.
I know, that is correct. They told him that is correct. But what happened was, is when the people saw the story next morning, that's when he was arrested.
After the rally,
he wasn't arrested until the next day.
I know it. And he said that after that, the next day, after he was arrested, he was let out. He said, the next time I have to kill him.
No, he said that at the rally, didn't he?
He said it at the rally.
Yeah, they interviewed him right after the rally.
Oh, okay. I thought it was.
He said it at the rally that the next time
he's going to have to kill him.
Actually, I would be like the caller. I would not even be at a rally like that. I would not find myself in that position. I really wouldn't. For what? For what reason? Well, you know why they're there.
Which is why I keep saying over and over again, Aisha, that, you know, black people are taking this right, this freedom that they're thinking that they get, but it's more like it is free to be a dumbass. That's what you are free to do. Because that's what we're doing.
Yes.
Because you can do something don't necessarily mean that you should do it. You shouldn't have to be out here amongst these damn killers. If you are the only, you have about three or four black people in a room full of 1,000 or more white people, and you know the crowd that Donald Trump attracts. He attracts the roughest, nastiest bunch of white people. So why are you going to be there?
Right. Why be in the midst?
It would be for trouble.
Well, what about the little girl that was a young lady that was in one of them, and they were pushing her out of there, telling her to get out?
Yeah, that was in Kentucky. But you see, she was with her white friends. You see, that's one
thing. Oh!
Her white friends at some college, I guess, they put her up to it, and they all decided to go to this dog college. You see, this is what I keep telling black people.
That's what Sarah keeps saying.
But the man
she didn't even know that she was getting endangered, probably, because like you said, she's with her white friends, and they're all going there.
Like I said, black people are crazy. They've been trained out their nature. Within the past 50 years since we we be hanging out with white people, we have become some very strange, disoriented people. We don't recognize danger anymore.
Well, she was just a young college girl, though, and she didn't probably even think it was any. See, these children are raised up way differently than we are. See, this generation here, she was probably barely 20 years old. They don't even know anything about it because they grew up in a integrated situation
But look at all these children getting killed, Mother Hattie. Look at all
but they don't know. They don't understand that they're in danger because of integration.
And I think that's what Sarah's saying, that's where the problem lies. They're completely disoriented. They're unaware. Why are they so unaware?
I think she's saying they're unaware, but you have to, I agree with you on that. You better start teaching your children.
Look what the Jewish people do. They, from the time their children come out of the womb, they're telling that they're a persecuted people. Nobody likes us. You've got to be on your guard. You've got to be suspicious of everybody because they don't like us because we're Jews. That's what they tell their children. Black people
and stick together.
Exactly. Yeah. We don't do the same thing because our children said, oh, you preaching hate, you preaching this. You telling them about basic survival skills that you need. These people are our enemies. We have a history with these people. We're not telling you something that is out of the ordinary. We're just telling you to use precaution around them.
Well, that's why I had to start teaching my little boys about Emmett Till. My little boys are learning about Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Carla, I think you wanted to share a comment.
Carla, 804.
Well, I'm just saying that we need more of this dialogue. This should be across every radio station or telephone getting out our message. You can have the best message in the world, but if it's not thrown out there, no one will know about it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I agree. I concur. Yes, caller. Thank you, sir, for that information, because our generation, we have failed this generation right now, because my parents' generation, they prepared us. They told us that white people were no damn good. We need to keep an eye on them. But now our generation, we raised our kids to say, okay, everybody's all alike. We can all hang out together. And, you know, it ain't no big deal. But every you reading in the news about these young children that are being assaulted and attacked by white people.
Yeah.
All of these cops right. are doing these killings. They're all under the age of 30. That man that mm-hmm. killed Mr. Gunn that got killed by that white cop in Alabama about a couple of weeks ago. That man was 20, the cop was 20, was a 23-year-old white officer that shot him and killed him. 59-year-old man in his driveway. All of these people, so we've got to see that. We're thinking that we got to look for these old white racists. No, we got to look for the young ones because the young
yeah,
ones,
that's right, that's young, right.
But they're passing
then
on to
also,
the next generation.
And yep. also, I want to tell you about this where, and I can't pull it up on my phone right now, but I sent it to you, Ashir, and I know I sent it to everybody. And I didn't send it to you, Sarah, but where this white man, he had a next-door neighbor, and I hadn't even seen it on the news, but it's a news article on the Facebook news, so eventually it's going to make it to the news. So what happened was he tricked his neighbor over to come drink a beer, and the neighbor told him, no, I don't want a beer. And he went over and killed his 3-day-old neighbor because a white man, because they did not speak English. He killed the father and the son on the outside of the house. He bust inside the house, and the kids told the police that he put the gun to the mother and pulled the trigger. He did not run. He stayed right there and waited for the police to come and told them that the reason he killed them, because he did not like it, because they did not speak no English.
What were they, Mexican, Hispanic?
They must have been his Mexican. But
where did this happen?
It just happened. It's a breaking news story. It happened about 2 days ago. It's on
what state is this in?
I don't know. Right off of here.
Delta, come on now. You know we need the state and all of that.
Well,
we need to know the background.
We shouldn't report it if we don't have the details.
Yeah, we tell it news.
That's so, probably one of them Donald Trump followers is probably what put him up
that's
there.
That's who I believe.
That's
the
same
too.
Type of people.
It may be just a story.
No, it's not.
Be
You see, all these people going to these rallies and listen to Donald Trump, he's feeding their psyche about being oppressed, and the Mexicans are taking over. Now we got these Arabs are coming in here, and they're taking
mm-hmm.
over. First, you have the black people. Now you got the Mexicans. Now you got all these Arab people coming in and taking over. He's feeding to that base level of these people and their insecurity about not having a job and this American dream that they were told that they were supposed to have. That's what he's feeding into. So they're going to go out here, they're going to shoot their gun and do all kinds of stuff. That's why all of these states are passing these open carry laws. You see, Texas got it, Georgia got it, Alabama. All of these redneck states are passing these open carry laws to tell people They can carry a gun anywhere they want to carry a gun. So anytime you provoke somebody to pull out their gun and start shooting up the place.
Indeed. And one thing that I was listening to a friend of mine talk about, she was having a conversation with some quote-unquote Black Lives Matter activists, and she said that the activists were saying, we're spending all of this time protesting and at these rallies. What if we didn't have to protest against those things? Could we spend that energy doing something else, like having a think tank or doing something positive in the community, doing something else to uplift the community? And I think that going to, me personally, I go on a Trump rally, Hillary, or nobody else to protest against them, because they're going to do what they do anyway. They're campaigning. So I would rather spend my time having a conversation with all of you and trying to figure out some solutions to some things other than going to the rally and holding up some signs, because that's not going to change anything, in my opinion. That's just me. So I would like to see some of the young people and some of these activists not go to these rallies and get put out and punched out. And let's go to try to start some political education, perhaps, and maybe in, say, 16 years, we'll have somebody ready to run for president or some other local office, because I wouldn't say run for president, but run for some school board or something like that, or an alderman or something, other than going to these rallies and trying to protest against them. Let's take another caller. Let's see. We have a caller, so Kia. True.
Hello.
Hey, Kia. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just calling about the news story. It was in Milwaukee, the one about the killing the neighbors, because I couldn't believe that either. So I looked it up, and I guess it happened in Milwaukee. So it really did happen. And it was Puerto Rico. So okay. That's what I have to say.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Have a good one. Thanks for calling.
She said Milwaukee.
Yeah, was it
Spanish or
Arabic? It says in Milwaukee, some guy, his name was Dan Pop. That's the white guy. And the people were Hispanic, because I guess the father, his name was Jesus Manzo Perez.
Okay.
So I guess they were Puerto Rican or something. And it says, I guess, like you said, he asked about the beer or something, and the white guy said, that's why you don't speak English or Puerto Rican. And then I guess the white guy pulled a rifle on him and said, you guys got to go. Supposedly, he said, and then shot them.
So,
it's like a true story, and that's what happened. And
these Donald Trump.
And it's going to be more and more of that.
With the hate that he's spewing. Okay, so thank you, caller.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Thank you so much.
You too.
Right. Yeah, I'm glad she gave us clear that up, because, you know, I keep saying, you know, Donald Trump, you know, all he's putting out here, he's trying to distract these people from their pocketbook issues that there's no job, nothing coming back to this country, and it's not the Hispanic fault that the job's left. Is these same white men that look like you who decide to ship the job out of the country to go for cheaper wages because they don't want to pay benefits, they don't want to pay for retirement, and they don't want to give you health care. They feel if they go over there to these Asian countries, all they got to do is give these people a base salary and no benefits compared to what they would have to pay into your retirement and Social Security over here. So that is why they left. They ain't got nothing to do with the Hispanic or Black people. But white people, as usual, they don't like to take personal responsibility for whenever they left up. But they like to tell Black people in particular, we need to take personal responsibility. Well, we've been taking personal responsibility for a very long time. Y'all don't take personal responsibility for your damn actions.
Yes, you don't.
They're ruining the damn economy. They're ruining it, but you don't ever hear them go on TV and blame these white corporate CEOs for messing up the economy, the finances and everything. You don't ever hear them do that, but they're going to find somebody black.
Never.
Beat up on them. This poor black man, a janitor, whoever, he ain't got no power to do nothing, but they're going to beat up on him.
Mm-hmm. And Sarah, did you hear how all of the federal money that was supposed to go to the banks, which was supposed to then transfer and disperse that money to the people who lost their homes, who were, you know, victims of the housing crisis, only like a little small portion of the money went to them, but they can't seem to find out what happened to the rest of the money other than it went back to the federal government some kind of way. But see, that's why I keep saying this is a Ponzi scheme. When there's money needed for Detroit Public Schools or people in Flint so that they can pay their water bills, then you can't seem to find that money. But then you find money to give the bankers, and they're supposed to give that money to the people, but then you keep the money.
Look what happened in Iraq. The same thing happened in Iraq. They have all millions of money that they said disappeared in Iraq, that they can't account for that money. Haiti's the same thing. Put Bill Clinton in charge of the damn money. Bill Clinton and George Bush, the money disappeared. People know what the hell happened to the money with them Haitian people. White people got, you can't put white people in charge of money, food, or in charge of people, because they are very irresponsible when it comes to money, food, and people. Don't put them in charge of that.
All right, well, closing comments, and we'll bring
them
on.
That's not that
closing comments, and we'll wrap it up. Caller from 804, get back on the line. You have a closing comment for us?
All I want to say is Donald Trump, all he did was to tear a page out of George Wallace's book. The first time George Wallace ran for political office, he got whipped merciless. He said, this is not going to happen to me again, because the fellow he ran against out-hollered a nigger on him. And the next time George Wallace ran, he one-handedly. So all Donald Trump is doing is finding the type of people who are disqualified with the way that minorities are rising and their contribution, and trying to discredit it. That's all Donald Trump is doing. And America has a great deal of animosity against people here. Against the Irish, when the Irish potato blight was, they suffered mercilessly. The only job they could get was the low-down job that other white people didn't want. So Donald Trump, they will come also.
Thank you so much. And let's see, Kia, you have a comment?
Hello. No, I don't. It was a very good show. I know there was confusion about that little story, and I just wanted to make sure that we were clear on it. That's all.
All right, great. Thank you so much for calling, and we'll be back on Wednesday. All right, and Mother Hattie, closing comment. We lost Delta. I think Delta got a little offended by y'all telling her she didn't have that city ready for us.
Sorry. Well,
Kia, that's okay, because Kia brought it up. Kia found it and shared it with us. Mm-hmm.
So all I have to say is I think we should spend more time. I like that idea on protest rallies. Spend more time on getting in on school boards, getting on the city council at your local areas. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, because that's sometimes the only way you're going to get any recognition or get on the, quote, national mainstream media is by acting in that manner. However, we have to be concerned about, like Sarah says, getting some things in place for our own people, because the integration has really caused some problems with children not knowing when they are endangered because of the way they have presented themselves over these last few years. So I think it's all relevant, and I think we got to get on several different tracks here of doing something different.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mother Hattie. Aja, Seba?
Oh, I want to add, educate.
And organize. All right, Seba. Yes.
And follow up with some action.
Amen to that.
Well, mm-hmm. ladies, it's been very real and most informative, and I have to agree, educate, inform each other, and as you said, start on your local levels, get on these planning commissions, because that's where white people really stick it to us. When they get on these little planning commissions and these zoning commissions, this is where they can decide that what money is going to be allocated for where and what they plan on doing, because the federal level is not affecting us as much as what these people are doing locally.
That's
because
right.
That is
right.
What put the emphasis on, like the schools and all of that. That's locally. Get on your school board, get on your local planning commission to see where they're rezoning, going from a residential into commercial, because they're good for doing that. They take a black area, make it commercial, and next thing you know, they come telling you eminent domain, you gotta move, and all this other nonsense that they're good at doing. And if you only would know that, if you go to these local planning commission meetings and know what the heck they got planning to do for certain areas.
That's so true. I was listening to somebody speak about how before they locked up Kwame here in Detroit, Michigan, Kwame had a plan. He was really working on revitalizing Detroit, bringing money back into Detroit, and restoring Detroit as a chocolate city. And that was one reason why he was entrapped and caught up and shipped off to prison. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Remember the same thing happened to Ray Nagin in New Orleans. He said it was going to bring back Chocolate City right after Hurricane Katrina. And look where he at. He in prison too.
Mm-hmm. And that other man, I can't think of his name. I want to say his last name was Jefferson. You know, Sarah, they tried to say he had $10,000 in his...
He's from New Orleans too, Jefferson.
Yeah.
That's the cold cash.
Yes.
Yeah.
Had the money in his... Which he may have had money in his freezer, but I mean, and so what? He may have been hiding $10,000 in his freezer. A lot of people have safe money in a safe somewhere, or hidden under that mattress in a closet, or cut out in a sofa, and all of that. So, not like
black people
can't
have cash.
They're in the prison. But look at that. Look at the governor of Michigan. Where is he at? Life is usual, sweet, and he's harmed a whole bunch of people. He's poisoned a bunch of people. Like they said, Saddam Hussein did, wasn't it? Used toxins, gas his own people. Well, this man did the same thing.
The same exact thing.
He's still walking around.
He's a white man, so jailing for white people. White people are supposed to kill black people and other people of color, but if it is reversed, you see, they only use that as an excuse to go in because they want to have an excuse to go in to topple to destroy that country. So they use that gas and nonsense. But this stuff here, right home in our backyard here, not even only in Detroit, but Dallas, Houston, Philadelphia, New York, you name it, all over the place, because you drive around, you can see them digging up the roads, putting in new pipes. Because I see them the other day driving around here, they're digging up the streets and putting down sidewalks and pipelines or whatever, because they know that they've been poisoning people with these bad lead pipes. So they're trying to, to come in now and correct some of it.
That's it. All right. Well, thank you, everyone. And we will be back on Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Central, 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you. Peace and good night.
Peace and good night. Namaste.
Namaste.